Breaking news. Here's a YouTube update. I'm Don McDonald. Hi. Wow. Thank you all for all of those notes. Wow. Oh, you guys are great. We got, dozens and dozens and dozens, and I lost count at about, I don't know, somewhere around 75. So you guys are just terrific. You have sent tons and tons of notes, and they were very nice and very respectful, and they did my heart good. You said great things, and I really appreciate all of them. You don't need to send any more right now, because apparently your notes had an impact, because yesterday, late in the day, I received a note from the executive response team at Google Alphabet. One of those. It said Google, but I'm pretty sure it's Alphabet, the corporate parent. And they said they were going to look into this. Then in the middle of the night, I received another note from YouTube support, and they said they were looking into it. And throughout the day, they've been asking me for more information and particulars on that and particulars on this. And so we've been going back and forth, and they told me that they will find a way to resolve this. Now, they haven't said that they made a mistake yet because corporations like this don't ever want to admit they made a mistake. You all know they made a mistake. So even if we just get reinstated, it'll be a victory. I'd like an apology personally, but reinstatement, that'll be fine. Now we can get our little YouTube channel up and running. And I was planning something new, different, better. We were going to have a lot of great stuff on this YouTube channel before we got cut down in our prime. So thank you again. You don't have to write anymore. I appreciate all the notes you sent out and all the tremendous support. And now we begin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Reality radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Hey there, welcome to the show and the podcast. I'm Don McDonald. We are here to discuss money and how you deal with your money and how everybody else deals with their money and how you can deal with it better and all the stuff you can do and the questions you have. And boy, do you have questions. Please, we encourage you to call us at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Call us there during the show or anytime. I got to tell you, during the break, I got a note. I have an account at 23andMe. You know, that's the DNA testing thing.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. I'm Tom, by the way, just so we know.
Oh yeah, I'm Don. That's Tom. It's so funny. I got a.
What happened? They found the horse thief in the background.
They find your DNA relatives.
Yeah, I never wanted to go there, but yeah. Go ahead.
Well, there's a young woman in Alaska, who is a third cousin of mine, according to our DNA, and I love her name. It's Dark Summer Dye.
Does that occur right before she passes away, or how does that work?
She's young. I don't think she's dying. She's Dark Summer, and the last name
is not Dye. Very Phoenix. That's not very Phoenix. I mean, very Alaska-like, because the summer's
no, I guarantee light. Well, yeah, but it's because she's got, like, hippie parents, which makes sense for some of my relatives. So, anyway.
I got a picture right here in this room where one of my relatives sitting on stage right next to Eleanor Roosevelt. So there you go. How about that?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt's dad was from Abingdon, Virginia.
Oh, well, let's just keep on going because I once went to Virginia.
Did you?
Oh, sorry. Not to Abingdon, no. Yeah. Nobody goes to Abingdon, no offense.
Somebody does. Somebody. Yeah, there's apparently a theater there. It's really good. Hey, everybody. We're here to talk about money. We really are. We're not going to talk about all this other stuff. We're going to stop right now. What we're going to talk about right now is there's this guy.
You got a guy?
You got a guy? Everybody's got this guy. He's America's guy. He's old, but...
Boy, is he ever.
He's loved. He's loved. Everybody thinks that he's a wizard. In fact, they call him the Oracle of Omaha.
Yeah, you're talking about the buffet guy?
Yes, Warren Buffet.
No, pardon me, Buffett.
Warren Buffet.
I loved his, was it Wasted Away in Omaha? Or something? No, I guess that's a different Buffett. Yeah, the Oracle of today's his big meeting, right? I mean, isn't this the annual meeting today?
I think it's today. North Carolina, I think they're doing it this year or something.
Oh, okay. So I'm hoping they're socially distanced because certainly don't want to get Warren sick because I think he's in his 90s. He's getting kind of old, as they would say. But
he used to be kind of great. There was a time when he was really extraordinary, and that reputation has lingered for decades now.
But if you still say the best stock picker of the last 50 years, he wins the contest.
Last 50 years.
What people ignore is the fact that it's been more than stock picking. It's been running companies. He's not just picking them, owning the shares. He gets to come in and say, hey, don't sell books anymore, Amazon. Let's get into the cloud business. A lot of money to be made. I mean, he didn't do that at Amazon. But the point is, yes, he gets into the operation. So there's been a lot of press here in the last few days. In fact, this one leads off, Don, saying, will Warren Buffett address his disappointing recent performance at this year's Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting?
And the odds are that he will. But is it really disappointing?
It really isn't.
The fact of the matter is he had his early years were extraordinary, extraordinary. And you hit on one of the reasons. I mean, one of the things he did is he took this little government employee insurance company, if you actually take the first, actually take government, employee, insurance, and co, and run them together into a word, and what do you get?
Geico. Oh, thank you.
He turned this from a little niche player into a national insurance company, and most of that was Buffett and his people. They didn't just buy the insurance company and sit on it hoping it would get big. They helped make it big.
Gecko did all that. I guess I had it wrong. Okay,
he hired the Gecko.
Ah, okay. Well, that had to be expensive. The last 10 years, just because we looked this up. Berkshire Hathaway stock up 209% total return. Total return. No, not an average.
So it's tripled over 10 years. 209%.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
that's good. The S&P 500 up 265% in that same period of time. And he gets unfairly compared to the S&P 500 because this is not an S&P 500 fund. Purposely not. He buys value stocks. The S&P has very little value in it. And so I looked at just the index, U.S. large cap value, up 188% total return in that time. So he beat his index that I think he should fairly be compared to for a variety of reasons. But I wouldn't buy it. I'm not saying buy Berkshire Hathaway. No. I wouldn't buy it. And neither would he, by the way. He says, if you're going to do your money, just go buy the S&P 500 index.
And we disagree with that. We think you should buy the total market index, not just the 500 biggest companies in the United States, because it's those little ones that can turn into something really big.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hello, welcome back to the show. I'm Don. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. You can also send us questions at talkingrealmoney.com. You can type them or you can speak them. You can do that too. This is a typed one. People really do prefer typing their questions.
I think it's just easier. It doesn't feel like you're going to harass them, so it probably makes sense.
Hey, I can harass them anyway. I guess it's less personal, though, because it's not to their face.
Written question, whatever. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
All right, here you go.
Can't hurt me. Yeah.
Well, this question might hurt you. you need to pay attention. This one is a challenge. This is going to challenge your Roth 401k and IRA knowledge.
Oh, goodness.
Hello, Don and Tom. My name is William.
Not Ron and Don?
No.
Okay.
I attended the Less Taxing webinar and have the following questions regarding IRA 5-year rule. There are confusing articles on the internet. Please clarify. Does each backdoor conversion, I'm going to give you the questions one at a time.
Yes. Please do.
Does each backdoor conversion have an individual 5-year waiting period?
Yes.
Thank you. How are earnings defined? Is it the dividend and appreciation, or can I withdraw the amount up to the contributed amount?
It is earnings and dividends. That's all rolled, capital gain, whatever it is. It's all that.
Okay.
I don't know if I answered his question. Like, yeah, it's something
sure.
there at
can,
the end.
Can he withdraw up to the contributed amount?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Does a Roth IRA rolled over from a Roth 401k have a 5-year waiting period?
I don't think so.
No. Because it's been a Roth the whole
but
time.
But if it's before of your 59 and a half, I don't know. Then I, that's,
well,
oh boy.
Okay. But okay. I think I don't think the 5-year applies, but okay, I could be wrong. If so, does it start on the year the rollover occurs or the year I started contributing to the Roth? Does being 59 and a half overwrite the 5-year rule? In a 401k to IRA, it would, yes.
I think it does, yeah.
I believe that is correct, sir.
Dude, quit taking the money out of your Roth. It should be the last thing.
Please educate us so we don't get into trouble. Oh, I think we just did that.
And thank you for coming. Our class is on Thursday, right? We had a good turnout for that.
We did. We did indeed.
And is it up online now? Can people watch it online?
No, it is not online now. What did I spend all day yesterday doing?
You were arguing with Google about something. I don't know.
I spent 2 hours.
Spanish to me.
I spent 2 hours on with Adobe tech support in India. 2 hours. And then I spent most of the afternoon fighting with YouTube and Google. It was a wasted day. And the class was Thursday. I got to edit the video. Then I got to put
it up. Sure. I mean, you've already put up the Tom, Don, Paul thing, which is just amazing. That was fast.
Yeah.
No?
Did somebody just send you a note? I heard it buzz.
They did. Yes, they did.
All right, let's see what else we got here.
People love, there's people that just sit back and listen to the show and just love the fact that they can sit back and write what they think is funny things about you.
I think it's just certain people who do that to you.
All right, here you go.
I'm going to give you another question. Yeah, we got time.
Yeah.
This is one of those smart alecky people out there. This guy lives in Alabama, which I, you know, if you live in Alabama, you got to try and be funny. I'm giving him a hard time.
Stop it. Come on.
Dear Tim and Dan. See?
Oh, I think I even know who this is. Yeah.
I heard you recently say you can have Vanguard exchange from a mutual fund to an ETF. I'm in my 30s and investing in a taxable account after maxing out my 403B 457 backdoor and spousal backdoor Roths.
We
only have about $10,000 in my taxable account, and it's all in VTSAX, the Vanguard Total Stock Index, U.S. Stock Index.
That's U.S., yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's U.S. I understand that ETFs are traditionally more tax-efficient than traditional mutual funds, but heard something about a mechanism by which Vanguard can flush out capital gains in the mutual fund version, making it equally tax-efficient. I think he's referring to a tax-managed version of the fund.
Yeah, I mean, they don't eliminate them entirely, by the way. They're more tax-efficient.
Okay, so he says, as you recently...
Is there a question here?
It's coming.
Oh, I mean, I just got an estimate from Zillow. I think I'm retiring. I just got the number for
They just sent you that?
They just emailed it to me. I'm just looking at it right here. I think it's over. Tom, sell your account now. I think I'm going to.
As you recently discussed the ability to switch from mutual fund to ETF without tax consequences, I figured this was worth discussing, especially considering I have a long investing timeline. For what it's worth, you're funny, dude. For what it's worth, I have a deep, velvety voice. And my shirt size is large. Oh, wait, that's stacking Benjamins. Either way, thanks, Ted and Dom. I would really love a shirt. Yeah. Thanks. Love the show.
Ah, you like a shirt.
Actually, I have.
Like, does he say what kind of shirt?
I have some old Don McDonald Show shirts from, I'm telling you.
I don't have any vestry shirts around anymore.
From, what are those, 20-plus years ago?
Don't put them on. You'll feel bad about yourself.
Oh, no, they're all sizes. I had them for giveaways back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Along with the Don McDonald Show mugs.
The mugs are. I've got the mug right there on my desk. I love the mugs.
The mugs are the best. We only have. We only have like 8 mugs left. That's it in the whole world.
So the question is, can you easily move from the mutual fund to the exchange traded fund?
Yes.
That's a fund. That's a company by company thing. But I mentioned the Dimensional thing because they're doing it automatically.
But if it's the Vanguard. No, Vanguard does do it. They do it. With no taxes. If you go from the Vanguard Total Stock Index to the Vanguard Total Stock Index ETF, same exact fund, you can move.
Okay.
Same portfolio.
Good to know.
So there you go.
Would I do it? Yes. I think I would do it in a taxable account without even thinking about it because it's going to be cheaper and more tax efficient.
Yep. Yep. And you're not getting a shirt, dude, particularly for all the smart LP comments.
Oh, come on. Oh, that guy's not getting one.
Deep velvety voice. Come on. Come on. Let's talk deep velvet.
Don't take on... What's your thing? Hair lip or whatever your
lip reading? No,
lip reading. Okay, I forget what it's hair lip. Sorry,
it's a podcast with short stories.
It's very popular.
Reading.
I know.
It's actually very popular. It's almost as popular as Talking Real Money.
There you go.
So there you go. In fact, my next story, I'm going to record it. I think after the show, maybe tomorrow. I found an Ernest Hemingway story that is now in the public domain.
Which is about?
It's called
Oh, that's
Indian
all right. Let's
Village
stay to the money.
Something. Well, no, we're out of time for this segment. So.
Oh, okay.
It was a good story. It was an interesting story. So I'm going to read it. Anyway, give us a call, 855-935-TALK. We'll talk about your money issues or, you know, if you really want to, you can send them in at talkingrealmoney.com. But we kind of like it when you call during the show because it's more fun to talk directly with you. So call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Want a free copy of my book, Financial Physics? Well, go download it right now at vestory.com. VESTORY.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And lines remain stubbornly open. At 855-935-TALK. Don't do it again.
We were there for you in the sun.
Yeah.
Be there for us in the rain.
Again, it's the bad writing staff. They just keep recycling the
same material.
Okay,
if we're
going to
talk about something, can we talk about the $43 hamburger?
Okay. Did you find the number?
Three,
Tom told me this story earlier.
I'd have to go get the receipt.
Okay.
You got to believe
it.
Tell the
story.
True. That's
so,
why.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't do a lot of, I guess not very much at all, period, DoorDash kind of stuff. I just think
I do DoorDash all the time.
If I have to, I just never do it. So, you already know I cook probably at least 5 nights a week anyway. So there really isn't much dining out. But, so my daughter was here the other night and I was tired and didn't want to cook.
I know the
feeling.
And so
I said, just whatever you want to get's fine. I had some leftovers, which I was going to have. So she said, okay, I'll get a hamburger. Can I say where it's from?
Yeah, you can say Five Guys.
It's Five Guys, which I think is a good franchise, by the way. I think they're good. Their product is good. So she ordered a Five Guys burger,
okay,
a order of fries, mm-hmm, and a milkshake,
mm-hmm,
and to have it delivered.
Yeah.
And she got it. I got a bite out of it. It wasn't bad. I think the dog ended up with a little bit because she couldn't eat the whole thing. But at the end of the day, I looked at the receipt afterwards, $43. Now, that included service charge, another service charge. She did give him a $5 tip, which I said, wow, did you go ahead and just do that? Yeah, I thought that was nice. Okay. Easy to spend other people's money. I just couldn't believe that. $43 for a hamburger.
Hold on. I'm a member of DoorDash, so I get a deal.
Ugh.
So let's say, what did she
order? Does that mean you own their stock or
she
something?
She ordered a hamburger.
Yeah.
Just a hamburger?
It had two patties. It had
two patties
on it.
That's right.
Okay.
We're going to just.
And then I think it was a small fry.
They're small fries.
Or regular, whatever.
Yeah, they're
small fries.
Not very small.
And then a milkshake. That's it.
A little fry. Hold on. I'm putting a little fry in my order.
I was thinking for that charge, they should probably chew it for you first or something.
Milkshake.
You know.
Oh, my gosh. Their milkshakes are not cheap.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Hold on. I'm just going to see what my charge. See, I think you got robbed somehow. because I just put an order in. I'm going to get to that. I just put order in, and it was the food, exact same order, $20.85.
Yeah, then they put all these like 19 charges on it.
Then it's a delivery fee of $3.99, which I don't pay because I'm a member.
That sounds about right.
And then another
then there's some service
$4.69 in fees and estimated tax. So that brings
there was another charge on top of the delivery plus taxes plus the tip.
30.
Yeah.
30 route 30.
Do you have sales tax there? Tax there?
7%.
Yeah, ours is 10, so there's a little more. But there was another, on top of just the regular service charge and delivery, there was some other charge.
Oh, well.
Maybe it has to do with, I think it said search. I don't know. I wish I'd kept
it. Oh, it may be that you were far away from the Five Guys and they had a distance.
It's
I don't know.
Like 10 minutes away. Anyway,
I got
confirmed my lack of interest in all of that.
If I put this order in right now, it would be high. It would be with a tip, a $5 tip, $28 for me. But not
for a hamburger.
For a hamburger. That is pretty.
You can drive up the street and get one. I'll sound really old here, but I can remember. I remember the days when I went to McDonald's and bought a hamburger for how much? Do you remember?
15 cents.
I was remembering 25, but okay.
No, so I remember 15 when I was a kid.
I remember going there and getting a hamburger.
And you could not go inside because there was no inside. You walked up to a window and you sat on a red and white tile bench on the side. Bench. No table. You ate your burger, and the root beer was dispensed from a big wooden jug-looking thing, and the god-awful orange soda was in an orange thing that bubbled. I just remember that.
I never liked either of those drinks. I would have had a shake for sure. Anyway, a quarter.
No,
and now it's $43.
$43. So. That's inflation, dude.
What is this, Argentina or
that
something?
That is some serious inflation. And remember, they charge more on the DoorDash app for the food than they do at the store because DoorDash gets a commission.
I'm going to go back to what I mentioned before. I'll start cooking again. Let's try that. How about it?
Buy some hamburger for that poor girl.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
All right, is the Kentucky Derby... Yeah, they already did.
I think it's completed. Yeah,
12
it's
noon.
Over.
Okay, good. Well, that was noon Eastern, so we didn't lose our audience to that.
And you know what a following they have here in the Seattle area. Yeah, wow.
Big horses.
Bunch of horse enthusiasts.
By the way, we're into the home stretch here. As it were. And this is usually the part of the show where we get the most calls. So give us a call now at 855-935-TALK. And Carl, it's your turn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, guys. Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I are in our mid-40s. We're both professionals. We make about $400,000 between the two of us. And we've got about $2.2 million in our retirement plan so far. We plan on working another, say, 10 to 15 years. And the question I have is, at what point should we look to maybe take some of the gains? And I know the market's been very good to us here in the last year, and begin shifting towards almost building a cash emergency fund within our retirement portfolio so that when we retire and we're taking money out of our portfolio to live off of, we don't have to sell equities or sell investments that may be in a declining market.
Well, first, let me congratulate you on being able to actually barely live in Seattle on that salary. I'm sure you know you're glad that you can make it now. good job. I tell you, you've got to have the right portfolio for you now. I think you may be overthinking this.
Yeah, and what I think, because you're saying, should I, what I'm hearing is, should I have a certain amount in cash when I draw from this portfolio at some point? If that's still 10 to 15 years down the road, no. And by the way, the part that I would have for the safe draw would be the bonds, not cash per se.
The portfolio needs to be structured, though, for you today based on your, because you're mentioning the market going down. That is one thing we guarantee it will do someday. It will go down, and there is nothing you can do in anticipation of such an event other than build the portfolio so that it's comfortable when that happens.
And you could do that easily, get an idea of what your risk tolerance is by getting the risk quiz, which is free at TalkingRealMoney or at Vestry.com. I don't know that we answered your question, but what Don's trying to say is something that I try to say often. Your portfolio should be about you, not about the market. That's what that's what I would put it. And the fact that you still have 10 to 15 more years of work, that should be more about your risk tolerance, since you've been good savers too. And
you've been great
savers. How much you're going to need at age 60, just for sake of argument. Does that help?
It does. I scored a 90 on the risk quiz.
Holy mackerel cow on a
bicycle.
Wow,
nobody gets
90.
Did you do the one with the electrodes, or was it without the electricity?
This is the way we think of things. On March 16th last year, we put $50,000 of cash in the market.
There you go.
Oh, you're a genius, too.
This speaks volumes about you. And right now, with 10 to 15, and let's be honest, Carl, in 10 to 15 years, you're going to retire completely. Somebody who works as hard and probably likes what he does as you do.
I will retire from the work that I do, but I do have a plan for going and volunteering my time at a local nonprofit.
Right now, if you've got $2.2 million at your age, my guess is that if you're an aggressive investor, you're going to be in the many millions, the five plus by the time you retire, which probably means you can live as comfortably as you do today. And I just wouldn't overthink it. I think you're worrying too much about an event that will happen, but you can't get ready for it. And with then when it does happen, if it happens in the next 5 to 10 years, you're in great shape. You just buy into the darn thing.
Yeah, Don's exactly right. So, yeah, don't overthink it. I wouldn't be moving to cash. By the way, for all of those who called in this March that told us the market has to go down. Remember, there were a lot of people.
Oh, I remember.
Markets
down.
Do you know what the market did in April, by the way?
It went up.
The S&P 500 made over 5%. The NASDAQ up over 5%. The long-hated Dow Jones Industrial Average up almost 3%. Global portfolio?
Yeah, how much?
Up over 6%.
How much over the year since then?
17.6% year-to-date.
Wow.
It's a reason not to time markets, because you just don't know what is coming next. Truly, you do not.
You can't. So you really can't plan for it other than to have that built into your plan, your ability to tolerate the downturn. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, Vestory.com. Oh, good. They haven't run the race yet.
You were afraid you're going to miss it?
Find out who won. It was like,
yeah, it doesn't run until 4 o'clock our time, so that's still quite a while.
Wow, that's late out here.
You can get your mint tulips and pour a few of those down there and be all ready for it, sir.
I do not have a single making for a mint julep, sir.
Mint julep.
855-935-TALK.
I must be from the north, I guess.
Yeah, northwest. You couldn't be farther from mint juleps. Mint tulip.
Yeah. Sorry.
You know his days are numbered. You know they are.
I can't do the game and I'm drinking mint tulips. That doesn't sound good, I got to say.
Too much. I can't take it anymore. I can't.
And you are right to say that, by the way. You are, because we have spent a lot of time together this week, and it probably is unfair to your overall mental health. I got to say it right now.
Even Paul Merriman is saying that 30 minutes with Tom was just too much.
It's draining, man.
It's draining. Diana, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
I didn't Google because it seems like you guys needed a phone call.
Thank you.
Maybe this is Google worth, but I'd rather talk to you and maybe spare us some of these jokes. I'm just kidding.
All right. Yeah.
Tom,
thank you, Diana.
Tom, she hates your jokes.
No, she doesn't like your jokes.
No, she said she basically was referring to your jokes.
Ah, okay. I can take that. I got big enough shoulders for that one.
So
go
I
right ahead.
Questions for you.
Oh, good.
The first one, I have both traditional and Roth IRAs. I don't have any taxable index funds. And I was wondering if that means I don't need to change to ETFs, or should I change my traditional to ETFs because I won't probably retire for 2 years, but...
Do you want to answer that?
The only reason you'd want to change that would be the cost would be lower.
Yeah, I wouldn't change it.
But if you're at Vanguard, the fund is 25 basis points, and you go to the ETFs half that, well, then sure, why not?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, there's no abiding need. It is less expensive, but there's no tax advantage to it.
There's that. Okay, but I mean, I would look at the relative cost just to see. Why not? Take a look.
Okay. And then my other question is, I just rebalanced after 3 years, and I always procrastinate because it takes over a couple hours for me to do. And I just put all my formulas in an Excel sheet. And I was wondering if you guys knew if there's an online tool, you know, that I can use that would make that easier for me.
An online tool.
Online rebalancing. You know, the only online tool I know about is a guy called Don. He's my online tool.
See, but that was the kind of bad joke Diane was talking about.
Sorry, it was too easy. That was just too easy. Wow, there must be. I'm just trying to think where I've ever... It's like you can plug everything in and say, what do you got? You know, I don't know of one, but...
I don't either, and I should.
Trying to
but
see.
I'm telling,
yeah, I should too.
I will continue to
but
look.
But if you have it in a spreadsheet, it should be pretty easy, right?
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I mean, I know we have a service that does it, but it's a very expensive service. That monitors
yeah,
all
it's
our accounts.
It's called managing the money.
It's not very expensive.
More than zero.
Well, no, I'm talking about TRX.
You got me.
TRX.
Oh, yeah. If you went out and bought your own TRX, yes, that would be very expensive. Yeah. But if you put it all in the spreadsheet and you say this fund should have this percentage to start, et cetera, you can see the deviations. I'm trying to make sure I'm understanding what your need is in terms of the rebalancing.
She was just trying to make it easier.
So I have a column with my percentages. I have a column with the deviations. But then what happens? Like, let's say out of one fund, I have to take 8,000 out of it. But then I have to separate that because another fund doesn't need 8,000. It only needs 500, and another fund needs 3,000. And I've got like 10 funds I'm playing with. So it's like I'm playing with that afterwards of how to allocate that figure
when you
to the other funds. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So when you have to sell one, where the other money moves to is I can see how that would be complicated. Yes.
Getting the easy and then having to play with the allocation. Then I have to, okay, I have 8,000 here. I have to put 500 there and 3,000 there and 5,000 there.
Yeah, I'm even looking at Morningstar. I think Morningstar bought TRX and turned it into Morningstar Rebalancing. Or Morningstar has a rebalancing thing, but again, it's for professionals. It's going to be just, I am stumped.
TRX that Don mentions is what we use for our clients. It's in the portfolio. It goes in TRX, and it's something we look at regularly to see if something needs to be moved and where it needs to be moved to and from. I don't know of any sort of online, that is a very rebalancing tool of some kind.
I bet somebody will call us if there is one, because I've never seen one. I've only looked for us, never for individuals. I feel badly that I haven't. But
You had to suffer through all those bad jokes and you didn't even get an answer. This is horrible. What an awful day for you.
So because of all, well, in that case, give me a mug and a t-shirt from...
Actually, they're not t-shirts, they're polo shirts. You're not going to want one. And they were embroidered back in the 1980s or 90s, early 90s, so they're probably getting ready to fall apart. Who knows?
That's probably good.
But thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
I tell you what though, if you call me next week, I'll get you one of Don's mugs. I think we still have some around the office.
Do you have some of the mugs?
Uh-huh.
If
you
not,
call
you,
me next
you,
week at
you
the
have
office,
a,
I'll get
do
you
do we
one.
Still have Vestry mugs?
Oh yeah, definitely we have Vestry.
How about a Vestry
water
bottle?
They're not as cool though. We have those as well. We need them to drain the water from the office. We've been using that to scoop up the water in the hallway.
Flooded
so it's
office.
Been very helpful.
Yeah.
We actually had a flooded office. We didn't talk about that.
No, the office has been flooded now for a week?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the water is gone, but the damage lives on. It's question of how long we're going to be out of the place. It's very bizarre.
Are they going to have to do anything?
I came in Monday morning at 5:30 a.m., and there was about an inch and a half of water in most of the hallways.
I told you,
very strange.
Indoor pools don't work that well unless you dig into the ground.
Oh, I see. Just putting it on top. I don't think they still know. They were trying to dry out, make sure all of the drywall was dry.
That's what I worried.
And they were drying it all out at the end of the week. So they had some little plug things into all the dry. It looked freaky.
Hey, they're
very
moisture
weird looking.
Moisture sensors.
Yeah, whatever it was. So who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, but if you call me, I'll get you one of Don's mugs. I'll get you one of Don's handsome mugs. There you go. How's that? Is that better? No? Okay.
Yeah. It was pandering, but it's okay.
If I'm pandering to you, then it's fine. It's the rest of the world I get in trouble for.
You were pandering to a little bit of everybody, I think.
All right.
So did you decide on the refereeing? Are you going or not?
I don't know. I'm not going to go. You know,
you're just going to sit at home.
I know. It's
watch
sad.
A movie.
It's sad. It's horrible.
Your family's not
by
even
myself.
There.
I know. I could do anything I like right now. I have a meeting at 2:00, but after that, any single thing. I'll probably move a little more gravel, go get something to eat, hang out with my dog. How's that sound?
Oh, that's good. The dogs love that.
Yeah. The dog would be very happy.
And please take a moment to listen to Friday's podcast. On the Talking Real Money podcast on your favorite podcast service, or you can go to talkingrealmoney.com and watch the video, and then let me know what we did to make YouTube mad, because I can't figure it out. I mean, I mentioned in the last hour, they literally shut us down for doing something offensive or illegal. Criticizing Bitcoin's illegal now? I'm really scared for us.
Yeah.
So please go check that out. You should be listening to the podcast anyway. It's kind of fun.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestory advisors help you save your future at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And if you need real help, like serious help, like longer than a minute and a half help or 3 minutes, you would be smart to get in touch with one of Vestry's advisors, because we will help you de-hodgepodge your portfolio or clean up a mess or just kind of get started on a better future, even if you're a do-it-yourselfer. It's truly free. We've believed in this for a long time. No obligation, no sales pitch, no nothing. Just go online and book an appointment at Vestry.com.
Find out how diversified you are, how much you're paying others, how much risk you're taking, and whether or not your retirement looks successful. It's very simple, as Don said, Vestry.com. You get an appointment right there.
Or looks like it might be successful. We can't promise anything, but we're going to try.
Well, that's true.
Just go to Vestry.com, set up the appointment. We'll make it happen.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?